today's private company boards face an era of rapid change and uncertainty. In this episode of the Privately Speaking podcast series, host and KPMG private enterprise partner Erica Whitmore sits down with Stephen Brown, managing director and senior advisor at the KPMG Board Leadership Center, to explore the pressing challenges brought by shifting geopolitics, economic turbulence, and the rise of artificial intelligence, offering insights on how boards can make confident, strategic decisions for lasting success.
Stephen, so excited to have you today. I think this is maybe your second or third time on our podcast. You're a frequent flyer here, so really appreciate your time and your attention, and very, very excited to hear what you have to say today. And if you don't mind just giving a really brief background on yourself, that would be wonderful.
Well, and yes, indeed, I'm a frequent flyer. I have the miles to show. And Erica, thank you for having me. I'm Stephen Brown. I'm a managing director and senior advisor at the KPMG Board Leadership Center. And the BLC, the Board Leadership Center, is a unit inside of our firm that works with our clients and potential clients on all their governance issues and sort of thinking through the issues that really matter inside the boardroom.
Perfect. And we did spend just a little bit time prepping, Stephen, but I'm very excited about what we're going to be talking about today. And I think the way that you phrased it in our preparation was the elephant in the boardroom. So maybe we just start right off with, what's the first elephant in the boardroom that you'd like to talk about?
Sure. Well, I think there are two big ones. So I will enumerate them, and then we'll take them at hand. One is, no, we have a new administration that is moving in breakneck speeds, and if I just call that the current situation of what boards are looking at the environment with the new administration, and then secondly is the growth of AI, and so that first part, and again, I think there's so much involved in how boards and companies are thinking through right now dealing with the current environment with the current administration. I just call it the current situation. We could call it so many different things, but it's just easier to say the current situation.
Which there's a lot going on, right? There nobody's going to argue with that. There is a lot going on.
Absolutely. There's a lot going on. And it is traditionally, you know, when a new administration comes in, before they come in, boards sit around and sort of strategize on how to adaptive governance, how to adapt to the new administration coming in, and what the board thinks they're going to do, and what does that mean for the board's policies, the company's policies, or the company's strategy. And I think people did that in November and December, and the first part of January. And part of that was thinking that we'd have a mergers and acquisition environment that would be very ripe. Part of that is also because of the economic environment sort of was leaning towards we'd have that. And what we've seen is that that's pretty much paralysis. Like, money has not moved. There are still deals happening, but bigger deals.
But not to the extent we were hoping, right? Given to your point that we were all expecting. Yes.
Absolutely, because there's a great deal of uncertainty there is chaos and confusion, quite frankly. And I spoke to one large activist investor, and it was to enable to do something, to sort of have a meeting and come to a conference. And the word back was that they're doing while there's this uncertainty, I'm doing absolutely nothing. I'm waiting for this to happen. Like, wow, I don't know. Will he wait for the next 4 years? At some point we have to get off the snide, right? But it's really, really tough. So I just made a joke about it, but this is just really, really serious. Folks are trying to figure out how to navigate, and there's so many different tentacles here about what to do. And so we'll always ask those of us in the Board Leadership Center, just like other folks, are just trying to understand, hey, so what should we do? You know, how should we behave? Which is always the question, right? So what's your advice? And there's some great talking heads out there, which, you know, my advice is that we should listen. But still, boards are going to have to figure out what makes sense for them. I have a framework or two to sort of think through. which I'm happy to talk about. And that framework is, there's, I'm not Kreskin here. And I don't think there's a magic bullet, but I think we just go back to basics, which is take care of what we know and what we can deal with. And when we think about that, at least it could give us some comfort about how to lead the conversation. And I think that's where boards are, because they're ready and willing. They were expecting to sort of move forward and to, you know, think about a regulatory environment that might be a little bit decreased and sort of opening up investment, an M&A environment that for deal making, and they're just paralyzed at this point. One of the things is, and again, I'd like to, part of the paralysis, they're trying to figure out with management which playbook to pull off the shelf. And I think it's fine just to call it the crisis playbook, which is like, what do we do now when we have this, and what do we know, and how should we react? One of the things is that, I truly believe that, I think I started off saying this, that this is the space for boards. Boards, because they are not running the day-to-day, I think that's the space inside the corporation to really have this conversation. Strategy is right up their remit. Risk profile, they're the only people who have a risk profile remit. Management will manage risk and then report back about enterprise risk management. But the risk profile, our at-risk profile, the risk appetite is squarely in the board's remit. And the other thing, so that's strategy, risk appetite. And the other thing is having a leadership voice, being able to speak about where the firm is going, what it cares about. I actually think it's still very important. I actually think that's also where, if I have to give a grade to companies all over the in general, that's probably where, as a teacher, I would say, hey, this needs improvement, because the voice, and by the way, part of that voice is that it's been muted. Like, everyone's like, wait, say nothing, stay out of the firing range. But I also think when we think about the five primary stakeholders of a corporation, from the investors, employees, consumers, suppliers, and just the general environment, general community, those folks need to hear about where management and where the board wants to go, particularly employees want to know about, they sign up to the firm's values, and they may think that some of those values are being, there's a retreat on that. For many companies, there has not been. It's just, it has not been articulated in that way. So I like to think of sort of framework-wise, because frameworks are great, right? It gives a way for a group of people, like a board, to sort of think about issues and then to be able to talk about it. And I think about those, I just mentioned five different stakeholders, from investors, employees, suppliers, customers, and the environment. For me as a board member, I like to go through each one and sort of work with management. So what's the investor sentiment now, and how are they thinking about things and getting that feedback? Same thing with employees, and sort of doing a deep dive.
Taking a survey, et cetera, and really getting a pulse on how they're doing. Yeah,
exactly. And sort of really feeling them out and understanding what they understand. Look, I'm a former investor. And so when we think about these five different stakeholders, years ago, I would say investors are number one, and you got to care about it, because that's what I did for so long as a large institutional investor, head of governance. But I've come to realize that, look, all stakeholders are important. Employees are deeply important. There are people who today in 2025, they decide whether they're going to show up to work or not. They're deeply, deeply important. They are also, with most of evaluation of companies, particularly publicly traded companies, are said to be these intangibles, which include this asset, which as an accounting firm, we know that they're not actually an asset under the accounting rules. But everyone says employees are our greatest asset. As an investor, I just want to say, I always want to do the analysis. But, okay, great. Show me. So walk me through how you're thinking about them How are you thinking about turnover? How are you thinking about whether they have to be retrained or what have you? How are they thinking about some of the moves that you've had to make around human capital management and the concept of DEI, which now has to be re-explained and maybe changed? And that change of how you talk about it needs to be re-explained. So there's just, I'd like to think about category by category as a director of these different stakeholders, including our suppliers, and what do tariffs mean about it? What does the supply chain mean for and those effects on the supply chain? How are our customers receiving the positions that we've had to take?
Right.
And maybe
given what we know today, and the uncertainty. Yeah.
Given what we know today, which can change tomorrow. Right.
Or tonight.
Or tonight. The one thing I will say about, again, one of the five key stakeholders I sort of put there is the environment, which I think is an interesting going forward, is that we know here in the United States that we don't have and we will not have a climate change rule per se. Right. The SEC is put it on a back burner. I think they're just going to kill it. But Europe still has it, and it's going to be modified a little bit. I like to think, if we think about, an upside in this, it's not simply that, okay, you're going to be free of regulation, because that was literally only dealing with reporting. The issues are still there. And what I think people are free to do is not think about reporting, but think about what is material to me as a company. And what's really material, and really, and have that conversation. And I'm looking forward to the next few years, the next couple of years, have companies to have that conversation about what really matters. And I think they'll figure it out. They won't be burdened with reporting,
right?
Per se.
Which is a big deal.
It's a very big deal. But we also have to remember,
because then you can focus on what matters to your exact point.
Matters. But if you do have operations that are significant operations, so you're touched by European regulations, you're going to have to do some reporting. But again, the basis of it is that when you know what matters, then figuring it sort of flows that you'll be able to put the emphasis on what matters, and the reporting will flow from that. So that is, I think, is something. And I talk to boards, say, hey, do we have to care about this anymore? It's like, you've always, by the way, from a U.S., SEC securities law regulations, you've always had to care about things that are material, right? And so be very clear. If it's material, you still have to think about it here in the U.S. And by the way, if it's material, you should definitely have a conversation about what it means to the output of the company.
So, Stephen, let's switch gears to our second elephant, which I think is going to be a lot of fun to talk about, which is AI. And I really liked the way you framed it when we were kind of preparing. So I'll turn it over to you, but really excited to hear your thoughts on AI and AI in general and in the boardroom.
Sure. Yeah. Which I think the first thing is to take a deep breath, because AI has just hit us just generally really hard. And there's a fear of missing out. There's also the fear of not knowing. There's also the fear that this is the hands of a couple of smart kids, and that's pretty scary. But I do think about it from a board standpoint, in sort of four categories, which is, I think, the way boards need to think about it. One is simply from a business strategy, revenue and income, call it the income statement. How is AI going to affect our strategy? So business strategy, how do we make money?
And Stephen, would you agree? It can't be that it's not. I think in almost every instance, right?
That is correct. You know, I sort of think about, and some listeners may sort of shake their head, like, "What is he talking about?" The rotary phone, right? Kodak cameras, where we just can't say we're going to stay with the rotary phone. It kind of works.
That's right.
We like the method of putting our finger in and sort of dialing. Things are changing, right? Things are really going to change. And it's really a conversation about thinking about, it's going to change is how, and how quickly must we move And management's coming to the board for capital allocation decisions, which again is squarely in the board's remit. You do capital allocation. If you there are plenty of things boards do, and capital allocation is one of them. And this is a really big issue. So how our business strategy, how we make money, is a chief issue. Human capital management, in terms of the second issue of do we have the right expertise? Do we have the right staffing? Will we have to reskill? Will the government, local or federal, we're already talking about federal is sort of doing a whole bunch of stuff. So they may not have gotten to this yet, but certainly locals looking at it, will they require you to do reskilling? Or will you just take the benefits of having AI do things which wiping out expenses, human capital management expenses, for you, because AI can do it better. So human capital management issue, strategy. Third is just a liability issue, that there's a whole host of different liability issues, which, by the way, a lot of people are doing, they're just moving forward and they'll sort of catch up with it, but we know it's there. That liability issue from a lot of what AI does is it sort of involves IP. If we think about the generative AI and the IP issue to sort of using other people's IP in that issue, to the issue of the programs that we see, so many different commercialization of note taking, it's summarization, which again is a efficiency issue, and so that's why many people like that. But it's also an issue of, in order for AI to do that, it's recording you,
right, all the time,
right? Oh, yes, and so there are issues there. So liability issue, human capital management issues, the strategy, revenue issue, and lastly is inside the boardroom. There's been a lot of talk about using AI inside the boardroom, and that's as governance geeks, we get excited about to sort of think about it. I'm excited to think about it. I'm not excited to say everyone should go ahead and have an AI board member, so we're very clear. Most state laws, board members must be actual human beings, over the age of 21 and over. So I just had to make that clear.
That's good to know. That's great to know. Yeah, that makes sense.
I know you just need AI to do it. But the idea of bringing AI in the boardroom, primarily to deal with an issue which has always existed inside of boards, which is the information asymmetry issue, which is that management knows a whole lot more than independent board members who are coming in, 3, 4, 6 times a year, and deploying AI to sort of help bring data and analyze data for board members. And again, it's a very interesting subject to sort of think about. It's sort of where I am now. It's like, oh, okay, interesting. Let's have the conversation. Before anyone deploys anything, we just had to have a very, very thorough conversation about what that means, right? And the dynamics between boards and management, and the issue of the four-letter term NIFO, N-I-F-O, noses and fingers out, and how deep does management get into it? How deep does the board get into it? And running the same data and having the same analysis, raw analysis, that management has, and what that means.
That's super interesting. And Stephen, what are you seeing, like, in terms of like boards and where they're at? And let's talk about public maybe first and then private. Like, where are you seeing them at in this evolution? And I know that depends on the industry and a lot of things, but is there still some catching up to do? Is there, like, what are you seeing?
I think there's no doubt. I think this is both public and private. And of course, it just depends on the industry. If you have an AI company, it's very different from having a consumer products company that may be rather mature. But in general, what we do know is that when we think of all boards across the world, the average age is 63. And that actually is creeping up a little bit. So 63 may have been a number that was good for a year or two ago. But it's creeping up. It's not going down. And what we know from that, and these are people who also have a 30-year career with some modicum of success, which is why they're sitting on the board. AI is brand new. And what we see is that it's being met with a certain level of, yes, it's important, and we're being told it's important. And it may be more important as we move forward, but the AI literacy is not there yet. And boards tend to, when they're sort of challenged on it in general, and then again, there are people who listen to this and say, hey, I'm not that person, which is fine. By the way, a good 80% will say, I'm not that person. And we know it's not 80%. It's like, literally, if you're saying I'm not that person, you probably are. By the way, I'm one of those. I'm okay to say I'm one of those, but I'm recovering. I'm trying to learn a little bit more about this.
You're working on it. Yeah.
I'm working. I'm a work in progress. But this is very tough. This is something that's really challenging the boardroom to really understand how this works and how to make that investment.
I imagine we offer some training on that too, but that's a lot of what's needed, right? Is literally in training and you tell me, but I would think some element of from management, again, depending on the company and the industry and all of that and where they are in their journey, but also from maybe a board leadership center or another right governance body that could actually help board members really get up to speed and use AI and explore where it could be most useful.
Absolutely. I think there's a big role for two types of training or board education. One is training from management. So management telling the board, here's what's coming. And there's some very great practice by a leading board that I know. They think six to 9 months out about, and the CEO thinks about what I need my board members to know, maybe 6 to 12 months out. Because I'm going to bring to them a deal, and I want them to be prepared to sort of discuss it. So I need to get to them early in terms of doing that training. And then there's also, so that's sort of company specific about how they're going to use this resource. And then it's just the general training that is not generic to, that is generic and that can be given on the outside and also be given on the own asynchronously from the board. What we do know in general, boards typically, the idea of getting an entire board around a room to sort of discuss an issue of board education can be done. They have very limited time. It's much more easier done as individuals. And then when you bring the board together, you sort of hit a specific issue, which you're only going to get about an hour and a half if you're lucky, right? Because the agendas are so packed. I think this is where the innovations that we've had with board portals and doing Zoom and remote training asynchronous is wonderful for this and for boards to embrace that, but how to get that education individually. There's also, quite frankly, not everyone inside the boardroom wants to raise their hand and say, look, I don't understand this, right? But what we do know is that they don't understand it. we know that because when we talk to them individually, they don't understand it. But it's hard as a group to sort of raise your hand and say, hey, this is the thing I don't understand, which as we all know, is that once you do that, after the meeting, the other board members say, you know, I don't understand it either. I'm glad you sort of broached that issue. But it doesn't happen all that often. So this is a space that is really important for folks to get up to speed and for management to help them about how far they need to go. Or where they need to go to, what part of the AI revolution should they focus on? Because there's a lot there. Mm-hmm.
There is a lot there. Well, Stephen, this has been wonderful. Any parting thoughts for our audience in terms of key takeaways? We talked about a lot, but if there were maybe two or three points with where you really think, you know, this is what you need to focus on as a board member or as a CEO, navigating boards through this, what would you say?
Sure. Well, one is, look, we're all in the same boat in terms of looking at the geopolitical issues and the economic issues. What's important to me as a director, I would want management to take me through, show me the math, take me through your thinking of how you're thinking through these issues. A, B, tell me how you're explaining it to your employees, your shareholders, and your suppliers, and your key constituents from stakeholders, because that communication part is really, really important. And that's the piece which I said I would get to, so I'm getting to it now, that I just think boards and management teams need to do a better job on. It's like really walking through that communication piece of why you're making certain decisions that you're doing. And on the AI piece is really for board members to take the time to really get up to speed and to know there that they are in the same boat for as directors. But hopefully management is in a better, quicker speedboat than they are, which is okay. Management is supposed to be in the speedboat, right? You're in the tugboat that moves at a couple of knots an hour, but management is supposed to be in a much speedier boat. But you're going to have to get there too, and so you need to make sure that you are getting the proper training to get up to speed.
Yep, invest the time for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Stephen, this has been wonderful as always. Thank you for coming back and visiting us again. I doubt that it'll be too long before we have you back, because things are always changing, as we talked about.
And that we can actually bank on. Things will always change. And it's such a good conversation. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much, Erica.
Awesome. Thank you, Stephen. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to KPMG's Privately Speaking podcast. And be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.